This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Nissan. As a pioneer in the electric vehicle space, Nissan is always looking for ways to deliver new, meaningful technologies to EV owners. After all, Nissan has been making EVs since 1947. Their EVs have now traveled 8 billion miles by Nissan Leaf owners since 2010. Yes, my friend, that is 8 billion with a B, the equivalent of driving to Pluto and back, which is not a real planet. Think that's electrifying? One of their EVs trekked all the way to the North Pole, where all the underground government military bases are run. And Nissan even tests their EV technology on the Formula E racetrack.
But Nissan knows that you don't get an EV just for the E. You get a Nissan EV because it makes you feel electric, because it sparks your imagination, it ignites something within you, it pins you to your seat, and it takes your breath away. At least that's what Nissan thinks about when designing their EVs, like the Nissan Ariya and the famous Nissan Leaf. It's about creating a thrilling design that electrifies its customers. Nissan's focus on creating a thrilling drive and an electrifying life. In today's world, it's so important to look around you, to pay attention, to look for all the tiny ways life can electrify you. I like to feel electric by going to dinner, trying new foods, and then being late to my own podcast recording so that my host gets mad at me. But we recover because I never do that. So every once in a while, I need to electrify my life.
That's called edging.
Nissan EVs that electrify. Got home from church. Jason has a new computer. I would love to hear the specs and kind of why this purchase was necessary, and why you're using two monitors like an accountant.
As if the only people who use two monitors on their MacBook Pro are accountants. Come on.
No, please. Well, I mean, you don't have a Bloomberg terminal. Thank God for both of us. But
with a vertical display?
Yeah, but I don't understand what you... I mean, I know you dabble in graphic design, but for your audio creation, does two monitors help you speed through the process, or is it merely kind of to make you feel more professional?
It helps me speed through the process because my laptop monitor is 13 to 14 inches, which is small display. And then my external monitor is like 27 inches. So I'm able to have like a big view. You know, it's just bigger. That's all.
Sure. No.
I can have the big monitor. I have my Ableton up there, full screen, full bleed, as they say in the design world.
Okay.
And then my bottom screen, you know, I have my iMessage chat with Chris Black.
Okay.
I have my calendar app.
Okay.
You name it.
So you're able to streamline your workflow using monitors of different sizes.
You get it. I have my notes to speak openly and candidly about today's cultural icons.
Okay, I'm happy that you got this, and a new computer is a big step for anyone that's in the digital creation space, and I hope that Apple is able to provide you with the specs you need to kind of make your life better, easier, and more efficient. So congratulations to you.
Oh, brother. I got an M1 unit, not an M2. Don't need it. Not doing any... Avatar 3 at home, so I don't need that.
I thought M1 was a BMW. What are you talking about? Chips?
It is, Chris. There's M's can be used by myriad companies across the world.
I only count M's is what I said, so I'm a little confused. I don't know. I don't.
When you get to one, let me know.
Okay, well, I'll make sure to let you know. I was just reading up on Gwyneth Paltrow's diet.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Gwyneth getting dragged by the people who have full cheekbones.
Yeah, Gwyneth is getting dragged. Her diet, though, is just...
She's got a ghoulish diet, doesn't she?
It's not even that crazy, though. She has coffee, then she has bone broth, and then she has a sensible paleo-leaning dinner. I just don't know what the big deal... I don't know
what... That's what I eat, and I'm still fat, kind of.
I know, but...
I mean, I literally have coffee for breakfast. I'm drinking homemade bone broth right now, not some fucking $82 shit from Venice. Owl Creek, whatever. I don't know.
Owl Creek.
And then, yeah, for dinner, Owl Creek Reserves. ostrich broth.
It's truly, it could be a high-end whiskey, or it could be a broth. Who's to know with Owl's Creek?
And then for dinner, I think her dinner is a little more sensible than my dinner, is where the rubber meets the road on this one, though.
That's probably true, but I just don't... I mean, obviously, people want to hate Gwyneth Paltrow, and that's like a known quantity in this argument. But I just don't find this... I just can't... Like, what do you guys think actresses eat? Like, what the fuck do you think they're eating? You think they're eating fucking John and Vinny's? Like, hell no. She's just upfront about it, and I don't know. I don't think this is that big of a deal.
I think it's literally because she's upfront about it. Because every... Like you said, every other actor...
I know.
Just eats, you know, straight up nothing. And you're like, slay, mama, yes. Gwyneth is just, like, doing the same exact shit, except she's like... Isn't it random that I get IVs and I have my sauna in my house, and then people are like, sir, people are dying. My mom doesn't have health care.
That's not even my issue. My issue is that like she's not posting like a fake hamburger picture like every other actress, or like, you know, a big pizza that she's lying about eating. She, you know, that's my, it's like the, if I see one more fucking picture of a celebrity in a black tie outfit, fake eating a hamburger, mm-hmm. like, do you really fucking think, like, maybe some of the fellas are, but even they aren't happy about it. Maybe Dwayne Johnson has a cheat day.
No. There's a lot of, I mean, back in the day, iconic actresses would leave an awards ceremony and go eat. You know, Hillary Swank eating that Astro Burger,
Jason
honking down on a fucking Swiss and mushroom melt.
If you think Hillary Swank in her prime was having more than one bite of that fucking burger, you're out of your fucking mind. I'm telling you right now.
Here's what I say. Here's my theory. Swank, she took the whole eight. Swank got wide open. She ate the whole thing, and that's why she's never worked in this town again.
Okay, that's possible. I mean, I just don't think. I don't know. I just don't think it's like. I think Gwyneth's candid approach. I think part of what people are mad about is that like she is in their minds actively selling this lifestyle.
Because she is.
Yeah, but then it's unhealthy. But I'm a little. We need to get back to a place in this godforsaken country where people realize that they are free to make choices. You know, and it's like if you don't want to eat like Gwyneth Paltrow, you do not have to. It's okay to not subscribe to Gwyneth Paltrow's approach to life.
If you find it ridiculous, you can simply laugh at it.
Yeah.
And move on with your
day. Just keep it moving.
And not let it control the mood of the rest of your week.
Just keep it moving. It's okay. If you don't want to drink bone broth, that's fine. I think we've lost all sense of normalcy where it's like, oh, you know, you can make a choice. You don't have to do what someone else. It's totally fine. It's totally okay to not drink bone broth. You know, you can have pizza if you want.
It's actually not okay to not drink bone broth. It's so good for you. I'm drinking it right now. I so believe in it. But I think one of my one double standard that I don't like, because we are speaking about women specifically in this situation, is like guys like, you know, like Mark Wahlberg or The Rock or whatever. They're just like, yeah, I fucking wake up and I eat 11,000 calories every day. I have 12 fucking Big Macs for dinner because they're working it off and they're building the muscle and everything. And women, you know, it's tough to be able to have like a muscular figure and still, you know, be considered a beautiful working woman in the industry.
Oh,
you know?
So I'm
it's
not,
something that they have to keep an eye out
I'm
for.
Not,
I feel bad for them.
I'm not saying this is fair. I'm not saying this.
I mean, I'm not arguing with you at all about anything. This is just an aside where it's like, oh, it's a bummer. Like you really have to like watch what you eat, not eat a lot of calories, maintain this sort of sick.
Yeah, because you can't go. You can't go.
You can only have Madonna arms. You can't have Ronda Rousey arms. You know, you can't have. You can have a swimmer's body, but not a synchronized swimmer's body.
Not Ronda Rousey. Wow, really? What is going on with
I got on my turtle swag.
I was about to say Ronda. I haven't heard that.
You know turtle jacks off to Ronda Rousey deepfakes?
Absolutely. Still, to this day.
The real person as well as the character. Sorry, continue.
I think all of that is true. I think that obviously, you know, the media criticism of women's bodies is dark and twisted, and it's been like that for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like blaming Gwyneth Paltrow for it. Is my I mean, not just because I love her, just because I don't think she's really the leader of the problem.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think that it's I don't think she's really the problem. You know, I think that like you can get mad at the Daily Mail for posting like unflattering pictures and then savaging some woman at the beach in the caption. That to me is more of a problem than Gwyneth Paltrow being like, I drink bone broth and eat healthy.
Unless you know? The caption hilariously quippy and witty. That's the only way I'll allow it. But no, I agree with you 1,000%. I think that people get confused and angry about kind of woo-woo culture, which is a word that I hate. I just hate the word woo-woo. It's so stupid. But it's the blanket term that sort of, you know, handles all of that. And they have this unchecked frustration or anger about it for some reason. Maybe it's, you know, these people are subconsciously actively trying to better their lives and become more healthy, and other people who are like, I'm addicted to Diet Coke and Big Bang Theory are like, no, I don't want to do that. And so they like subconsciously lash out at people who are quote unquote woo woo, and she's sort of
the face of that,
you know, persona non grata. She's the face of it. Easy to take down. Because like, why do you really get angry about somebody being like, I worked hard all my life, you know, I'm trying to make my life better and I'm going to make a buck doing that, versus like doing a commercial I don't want to do, or an acting role that's going to be stupid for money. Like,
yeah,
I'm good at doing this. There's enough people out there who want this. I'll make money. That's it.
Nobody was mad when Paris Hilton did the Carl's Jr. commercial. I don't remember any blowback around that, Jason. And that to me was deeply offensive. And I was able to kind of push through that and make it out of the other side. But a lot of people didn't. You know, we lost a lot of people.
Look, if Paris was doing an Erewhon commercial or an Impossible Burger commercial, then people might be up in arms about it. But other people are just like, this is awesome, as well as tits.
I feel like when you combine a bacon cheeseburger with tits, something Paris Hilton is even really known for.
Damn, wouldn't it be cool if Paris just one day was like, hey guys, I have fucking giant tits now. Like, I just, it's part of my deal.
I think the Paris Hilton arc is coming to a little, the comeback arc, I feel like it's coming to a close, because she was kind of, I feel like she was unable to capitalize.
Damn, she's going La Roach mode.
I mean, dude, if I have to hear about, well, that plays into this whole thing too. It's like this guy is like feeling bad for himself for choices that he made. And I just don't, I just don't understand. I really don't understand. Like, if I walk into traffic and get hit by a car, that is not the driver's fault. That is my fault, because I walked into I knew what I was doing. I have agency over my decisions, you know. But the Law Roach thing is probably more complicated, but I'm not going to watch him talk about himself for an hour.
It is more complicated and not necessarily our place to comment on it. We can't, I agree, if you walk into the 405 and get hit by a car, it's not the driver's fault, but it could be argued that the person who created traffic in general, yeah, is, I mean, their fault.
That's the thing, though. It's just like, I don't think that, like, I think this guy is really going on an award tour,
metaphorically
speaking, an award tour for retiring, and people are like giving him props for keeping it real, which is like, sure, I love when anyone keeps it real, and he's pulling back the curtain on the fashion industry, you know. And it's like, mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if dressing celebrities is necessarily the fashion industry. It is. It's a part of it. But to me, it's like, I don't
do celebrity.
Well, to me, it's just like, I think if you're gonna dress celebrities, I think that you get paid very, very well for that, and it's going to be a high stress job. And also, you're dealing with absolute fucking lunatics. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, if you don't understand that getting into
it's a very hard job that has nothing to do with fashion.
Kind of. It is kind of. It really is.
It's, I mean, it's basically like you wake up, you open up your iPad, and then you see who from Valentino is forcing you to wear which outfit. Then they ask you where the address is. What's Nextel? Nextship? What's it called?
WorldNet.
Yeah, they WorldNet the shit to your hotel in Paris. You put it on, Zendaya. We call it a day. And if you don't wear that clothing item with that shoe, with that jewelry, with that earring, then your contract is torn up, null and void, and you're sued for whatever infringement of contract.
It's just the fashion. Same. I mean, I know that he's considered, I mean, I don't understand like red carpet dressing, because most people just look kind of insane, and I don't claim to understand that, and it's beyond my level of comprehension, especially with women. But it's, you know,
women really be dressing on the red carpet, if you ask me.
It's like, but it's truly like, if you, yeah, I manage Adele, you know. Like, what you're fielding incoming, you know, you're not having a drum up business. It's like you dress Zendaya. I could put Zendaya in a fucking paper bag and Zendaya's going to look better than everybody else out there. And I'm not saying there's not opportunities to add, you know, we were talking about this and people are talking about the arc of her look. And I'm just like, guys, no one gives a shit about that. No one gives a fuck about storytelling through red carpet looks. Like, that is absolute navel gazing horse shit.
If you do give a shit, I mean, millions of people do give a shit about that. And those people need to kind of come back to planet Earth.
No, but I don't think people give a shit. I think people
figure out
give
different
a shit.
Things to look at on your phone during your lunch break at Sephora.
I think people give a shit about, like, if it's good or it's bad, or if they think it's cool or it's not cool. But I don't think they're thinking, like, about how the stylist has drawn a through line through this. I just don't think that. I think that might help a stylist do their job and is necessary for them, which I totally understand and respect. I don't think anyone looking at the clothes on a celebrity is thinking about that or cares about that.
Damn, titties look good. That's what I say. And then on to the next.
Yeah.
Damn, Hunter Schafer, slay.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think anyone's thinking about it as much as the stylist, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, the award tour, I just still don't understand if La Roche's abrupt retirement from the coal mines of celebrity styling was, you know, and then a few days later, he walked as a model in the Hugo Boss show in Las Vegas. And it feels something there's a little weird to me. You know, it feels a little bit like I retired from styling, but I didn't retire.
Orchestrated.
Yeah, it just I don't know. I don't obviously I have no inside knowledge.
And also aligning with Hugo Boss, an attack on the Jewish community, if you ask me.
I mean, it's an attack on the aesthetic community for sure. But I don't know if I don't know. It's an attack on the eyeballs. But I just don't know.
He's just trying to get to Berlatini. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. We all are. That's all we're doing. But I just don't know if something about it all feels a little weird. And like there is an end game that results in financial gain. And if so, you know, hats off, because that's all anything is about, really, is how much money can I
sure.
How much money can I milk out of this situation, whatever it may be, good, bad, or indifferent. So I respect that.
Give me the drama. Give me the narrative.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, this is all just a fun, silly game anyways. Why the hell not?
But it is something that is, it's interesting when kind of general population begins to debate the ins and outs of kind of like a below the line thing.
Well, what do you mean by a below the line thing?
I mean, like, when you bring giant celebrities into something, it becomes like fodder for general population. Uh-oh. Whereas like how celebrity styling works is not really that interesting to people that just like want to see a celebrity in clothes, but now like everything else they think they're an expert on it and how it works and how it should work and how people, you know, blah blah blah. So it's funny to watch, like, you know, the cut commenters debate on something when they literally, you know, are a project manager in Tucson. You know, they're debating the ins and outs of celebrity styling in the Louis Vuitton contract. I just think it's funny when things reach that
I went
point.
Over the contracts, pro bono, of course. I pulled them from Reddit.
Yeah, exactly. I was able to take a look at this.
But also, like I was saying before, how you can't blame the driver for getting hit. You have to blame who created traffic or whatever. I mean, like, it's not that barista's fault for claiming
or
speaking that they know about this business that they don't participate in, because you're able to sort of lie to yourself and say, like, okay, I don't want this life that I'm in. I wish I was a celebrity stylist hanging out with celebs on the red carpet, eating in and out at 4 a.m. That's so random. But I'm not doing that. I'm never going to do that. So I'm going to sort of usurp that mental position of a person in that job. And it's going to act as like a weird salve to kind of soothe my my little life.
Well, also, it's like we all think we're experts on everything. I'm not immune to that.
And for that, I blame China.
Yeah, I'm not immune to that. You're not immune to that. It's like I think it's the internet's fault, obviously, because we are, you know, there's too much information out there, unverified or verified. But I've also been struggling with a personal problem that I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay, a personal problem. Okay, personal problem.
It's a personal problem, and it's been something that's kind of been ongoing for the last, I guess, like year and a half, like 2 years.
Gingivitis?
I've talked to a few people about it, and no one's gonna be able to help me, and it's embarrassing. It's like it's like really bad. It's like pretty embarrassing, but as you know, I bought the Samsung Frame TV. And
which is which you could explain to our listeners. It's a sleek, minimal television.
It's a sleek, minimal, overpriced television, and there's a magnetic frame that attaches to it, so it quote unquote looks like art. Is the idea. Mm. But it's $500 more than any TV.
Not your grandfather's television.
So I knew I was getting bamboozled when I bought this TV, but I liked the look of it. And I was like, oh, this is pretty nice. Fuck it, I'll buy this.
Fashion over function, a decision that Chris Black has made in his entire life.
Countless times. So I get it for reasons, you know, for a ton of reasons. It couldn't be installed properly in LA. I brought it to New York. I'm like, all right, baby, it's finally time. You know, it's time. Mm-hmm. The frame is going up.
Maiden voyage.
I'm gonna be watching Bravo on a whole new level now. And once again, I have been thwarted by the gods, and the Samsung frame TV is sitting on the floor, plugged into the wall, all cords visible, of course. And I am kind of recalibrating how I'm going to make this TV a part of my life because of the way it's designed. It has this stupid box that comes with it that you have to plug all the cords into, and that box needs to be...
The box is tough.
The box needs to be hidden in the wall behind the TV, and it's just something that makes me want to take the frame TV down to the street and hammer it until it's dead, because I cannot... I'm so angry at the frame TV, and I'm so embarrassed that I fell for this stupid thing that doesn't look that much better than other TVs. And and I bring this up to you, Jason, because I know you're a frame owner who successfully installed the frame in your home, and you enjoy it probably daily, and it's not a problem for you. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, well, that's not the whole story though, Chris. I have to be fully transparent with you on this one. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I do have a friend who works at the Samsung Corporation who was able to give me a very deep discount on the television at first. And it was then rush delivered to my home, and I, you know, took an edible and installed it in my bedroom in about 11 minutes, where it sat working smooth as silk ever since the day I bought it. What a great unit. Smooth, sleek, and stylish. This, I feel like it's gone up in value. I could sell it for the same amount of money tomorrow.
I'm not sure.
And you're having issues with yours, you said?
I'm not sure if TV... I think TVs are like cars. As soon as you pull them off the lot, they kind of drop in value.
No. Some cars are... or some they go up in value, but go
But
on,
you
sorry.
Didn't hide the box in the wall like you're supposed to.
No, well, it was... I was lucky enough to be able to hide it behind a piece of furniture that was right there. So there's,
see,
there's like a...
That... I want to say I that is a blessing.
Yeah, not everyone is as lucky as me to have that. And I also, you're a little more particular with your minimalist looks, and you know, Chris's house, it's a lot of white walls going on. There's not a lot of places to hide, and I'm sure you're living in an older building where the walls aren't necessarily zoned for this type of thing. It's just plaster and bricks and shit like that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently my man had his stud finder out, and he said this it's up to code, apparently. Okay. regardless of that fact, no one can seem to do this for me. Like, the amount of people I have hired, and they have come over and they've been like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't understand how this piece of this television is so popular. And when I look at it online, I see countless photos of it perfectly situated in everyone's home, cord free, looking good. Why is that not possible for me to achieve?
Okay, I think I have the answer, and I think unfortunately I'm the only they them for the job because of one very specific reason. You're hiring professional people to install this, and they don't want to be liable for any mishap, any fuck up. You know, you look like a litigious fella. You're a male Karen. You know, we don't want it's too risky if something goes wrong, whereas I am willing to sort of cut corners, look the other way,
yeah,
fudge a couple details. You're not gonna live there forever, something bad happens, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might be right about this. Like, I think you make a good point, but it's also like, when the guys get in here, I give them the vibe like, hey man, I'm paying you cash. Get this shit on the wall. I don't give a fuck what you have to do to get this shit on the wall.
Right.
This TV has been shipped across the country. I don't even care about it. I hate it. I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to watch TV. I fucking hate it. I'm so mad.
Chris, I'm coming into New York next week. I won't even charge you.
I know, but now, I don't know. It's a whole thing. Like, it's like you have to, there's like a metal box you have to buy that sits behind the TV to hold the box in the wall. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of research.
But that's the problem. You said you have to buy this special metal box where that thing sits inside the wall and flush. And where I come in, I say, have is a strong word. There's stuff called duct tape and thingamajigs. No,
sure.
We can get it done. We can get it to where it needs to be. It won't hold for World War III, but
it'll hold. Okay.
It'll hold.
Well, okay, because World War III is happening on Tuesday. So we don't have a lot of time, but I mean, I know that you and your friends in Glendale are kind of taking to the streets
to protest this Trump
arrest.
If QAnon ever announces that they're going to storm the Superiority Burger, then we'll worry, but I think you're going to be okay for now.
We're taking Superiority down. Yeah, I guess that the word on the street is from our friends over at Truth Social is that, so I guess Trump is being arrested, turning himself in, something like that, for a low level bribery charge for the Stormy Daniels.
Crimes of passion.
For the Stormy Daniels stuff, which is, you know, of course, all of the bleeding hearts in my life are dancing on his grave. I'm like, this is barely a charge that would stick on me. I don't think you're going to do a lot of hard time for this. It's not, you know.
It's something, though. It's something. And I think, I'm sure that there's a better.
It's not espionage. You know, it's fine. I don't know. A bribery charge, you would do, you won't even do time.
No, but do you think it has anything to do, or like there's any reminiscence of like when they get they can never get a charge on a mobster to stick, so you pop them for tax evasion, and then that leads to this, this, and this. Some guy talks, and then now suddenly we got, you know, I'm sure these people have a bigger game at play.
I think they've been trying to do this for so long, so desperately.
They're just happy to get numbers on the board,
yeah,
is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it feels to me like they've been desperately trying to get him on literally a parking ticket. So they finally got something, and they're going to run up the flagpole, which is fine. I mean, if that is your job and you fucking hate someone and you have this kind of power and you've been trying for whatever, 5-6 years now to get something to stick, like, I don't blame you.
I mean, you know, he's like a Bill Cosby, a very terrible person who is funny, but at a certain point, you know, you got to pull the ripcord and, you know, lock her up.
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to only empower him and make his followers like him more. Because it's going to paint him as like a, you know, a victim in some ways, or at least like a...
Yeah, who is the guy? He's gonna go Leonard Peltier mode, not to quote De La Rocha. He's going to become a political prisoner,
yeah,
fighting the good fight for the white brothers.
No, yeah, he's gonna be on prison on a hunger strike.
Mm-hmm. He's going to come back with a Bible, and he's going to have a beard.
Yeah, exactly. He's coming out as a guru. No, but I do think this will only empower him and give his people, because he's kind of been, you know, he hasn't been laying low. He's been calling DeSantis a meatball and shit like that, but like, mm-hmm, he's been laying low a little bit, you know, compared to the fever pitch that it reached obviously a few years ago.
He could have orchestrated this charge himself just to get a little ink, huh?
I think this is all just gonna end in a net positive for him in some ways. I mean, he might lose a little money on it, but I don't see what the downside is. But I haven't delved super deep into this, but I wonder if the streets will be safe in our kind of coastal towns. I mean, I wonder, you know, if we're looking in, you know, St. Pete might be a little different. I don't know. Birmingham, it could be. I don't know where these kind of,
yeah, he said to protest or to, like, where exactly are we going to protest? If he just like the DA's office in Midtown Manhattan?
I think it was more of like a general take to the streets, you know what I mean? I don't think it was like
just wherever you may be.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know if it
even
was,
the protest, even the protesters like Midtown.
not
I don't love that.
Yeah, I don't. That Chopped gets really busy at noon. It's kind of tough to get a wrap. I'd love it. I'd love if we could kind of branch out.
Just a bunch of people with little Trump flags set up at the Ace Hotel lobby on their laptops. Just Trump flags everywhere, like it's the docks in Newport
so
Beach.
Sick. they got all of a sudden the employees at the Ace are looking around like, God, a lot of people with IBMs in here today. This is kind of weird.
IBM. Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah, I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what the plan is. I haven't followed it super closely, but I've seen, you know, a lot of rumblings.
So. Everyone, it doesn't matter what the charges, like, nobody cares what the charges are for. You just want to see a photo of Donald getting perp walked out of Mar-a-Lago.
That's true.
Waving to the camera.
That's true. Well, that's the thing. He said that he's not. At first, I think the understanding was he was going to kind of go peacefully, you know, like surrender himself. Mm-hmm. But now I think he's saying he's barricading himself in Mar-a-Lago, and it's like, come get me, bitch.
I hope to God that's true. I mean, that'll
make it a thing.
That's like O.J. Simpson times a billion. That's like if O.J. Simpson and Waco fucked, we would have this.
So Trump is going to be in Mar-a-Lago, you know, it's I'm sure the fences are quite high there.
Trust me, not easy to get in.
It's going
to
be a standoff between him and like Palm Beach police, who are probably like, I don't want to arrest this guy that bad unless I can get a selfie with him.
Yeah. How many people are going to be scream crying with the taser saying, don't make me do it, sir?
Look, I don't want to fucking do this. My boss made me, dude.
You're my hero, sir.
I love the idea of like 8 Florida cops drinking like Black Rifle out of a mug, just kind of leaning up against their squad cars, like not really doing anything with like, because the thing, it'll be more media than police, you know. Uh-huh. It's not like he's coming out guns blazing, Koresh style.
Right.
He's not trying to. He merely wants the press there, so I'm sure all the press will be there, and there'll be, yeah, you know, a handful of cops kind of taking their time, having a breakfast sandwich from Brugger's, and it'll just, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think the climax is going to be that delicious.
No.
You know, I think it's going to be a little bit of a non-starter.
I mean, unless he's like, he knows that this is the straw that's going to break the camel's back, and there's like way more stuff coming that he doesn't feel like he can wiggle himself out of, and then he is going to do kind of a suicide by police kind of move, going out in a blaze of glory, come out with the little toolie on him, and then 11 ATF agents just pepper him.
Light him up. No, him and Kodak coming out fucking back to back, back to back, Bad Boys 2 style.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, Kodak, I said this day would come where you're going to have to owe me a favor, and here we are. You and I are going to die by the hand of Pensacola PD.
That is so sick. Him and Kodak back to back, just guns blazing, like, this is it, man. We got to go out, you know.
Kodak's like, this really sucks. I did not want to die like this.
I'd rather be in jail. This I'm is way so, worse.
Is there a fine I could pay?
How much money do you guys need? I get a lot for walkthroughs in Florida particularly. So let me know. I can get that. I can get the
He's
cash.
Like
11
months
weekend.
Ago, I fucked a chick at a hockey game on live TV.
I'm getting killed.
This 85-year-old iguana is more or less making me die.
this is a suicide mission. I didn't know I had a blood pact with Donald. I didn't know. I thought we were even, bro.
Sooner That's or later, so you're gonna have to dance, Kodak.
I'm gonna be paying close attention, obviously, you know, to this as the news.
Yeah, Tuesday. That's on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's on Tuesday.
We have to cancel our episode.
Yeah, we're unable to record on Tuesday. I've also been following closely this Taylor Swift tour that's happening, and
yeah,
there's been a lot of chatter around it because she made like this big overture about how she's playing a selection from her entire career, and I was a selection of songs.
So it's a concert?
Yeah, I was like, that is what shows are. I don't understand. Like, it's not like Taylor Swift is like a legacy artist who's come back to play her hit album in full. I just really was confused by this, and people are like so excited and like impressed by it, and I'm like, that's every show I've ever been to in my entire adult life. I don't understand.
Unless the concert explicitly says, you know, this is, we're going to go see Pavement do this album,
yeah,
front to back, whatever it is, and yeah, any otherwise it's just a concert.
I was so confused.
But also, I mean, that's how it is nowadays, man. You have to say stuff like that so people are like, OMG, she's in her discography era.
She's in her discography.
We stand.
We
understand.
I mean, it's so impressive for her to check notes, remember songs that she wrote herself.
It's so sick.
All by herself.
She's in her discography era. It's so sick. Taylor is killing. Taylor's on fire. She's in her discography era.
This bitch single-handedly wrote the song and then sing the song. And some song old, some song new.
It's really something what we're able to be impressed by.
It's sort of fucked up my feed this week because her opening tour date was in Glendale, Arizona.
I know.
And you could just imagine the confusion on my TL.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, you know, because everybody kind of starts their tour. You don't start the tour in New York or LA. You got to start it in a secondary or even tertiary market. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Glendale, Arizona, feeling quite tersh.
I didn't even know they had running water, let alone a stadium facility that could house that many Swifties.
But I imagine that all of these, like, I imagine Glendale, Arizona is probably like 30 minutes from Phoenix or something, or not even. It's probably like when you,
as the crow flies,
you know, as you go to what's the, like, even the Forum might not technically be LA. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right. No, it's Inglewood.
Yeah. So that's the thing. When you,
or as Maddie Healy called it, Compton.
Look, bro, he's English. He doesn't know. I mean, you know, it's tough. But I think that is, I know that's fucking up your SEO and stuff. And I also sent you that Glendale strip club t-shirt that I believe was from the Ja Morant. So maybe it's like maybe it's a stadium where sports are also played.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, what do you think it's for? The Arizona Symphony.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
if you consider Monster Truck Rally sports, then I guess, but yeah.
You know, if you close your eyes and listen to the roar of the trucks, it is symphonic in some ways, you know, if you're on the right drugs, if you've had enough Miller Lights. But yeah, I saw, well, you know, because Taylor, the Taylor Swift, the Ticketmaster battle, and now, thank God, our goth king, Robert Smith, is on the front lines fighting Ticketmaster. And the fees, and I just can't believe there's so many people in my life that buy tickets at like face value for something like that. Like I obviously am going to go see The Cure. I fucking love The Cure. I've seen them before. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. Mm-hmm. The idea of trying to log on and get destroyed by bots,
yeah,
to buy two tickets. I'm just like, I recognize that this is going to cost more than it should, and I'm going to go on to a resale site and buy my two tickets so we can go.
Just not deal with the whole mess of the whole situation. Who has the time?
It sucks, and it's annoying, and it's unfair, and Ticketmaster is the devil in a lot of ways, but like that, I'm just not going to I can't do that. It's like,
yeah,
if I want a pair of sneakers that sell out, I'm not going to wait in line. I'm going to overpay for them.
I think it's part of like an overarching theme or like a style of person that you happen to be, and me as well, where it's just like, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to wait in line to get the new iPhone. Anything like that, any potential strife in your day to do something that you truly love. Once you hit a certain age and a certain level of whatever we are, you're just like, I'm good. Like, nothing is worth it.
No, it's not. It's not even like I have so much money and it just doesn't matter. It's like, sure, I'd love to save $300 on Cure tickets, but it's just not possible. I just don't think it's possible. But last night we were walking to dinner at Dr. Clark just through Chinatown on a regular Saturday night. And there were at least four places with 25 person queues, and it was like cold outside, and these aren't like famous, it's not like stuff that I've personally heard of, it's just people are happy to wait in line to get something. Because I thought it was like I guess it was like exasperated by COVID, but when it's regular stuff, I can't, come on, dude, like how good can the fucking noodles be?
This is a topic that we've discussed a lot, the psychology behind enjoying the waiting in line. And I think before I would talk, I mean, it's basically just like going outside and going for a walk, except you don't have to move and you can look at your phone.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It's like self-care, like outdoor activity, vitamin D, yes, yes kind of thing. But you don't have the annoyance of walking into stop signs while you're looking at your phone.
No, sure. Yeah, I got a concussion because I was looking at my phone. But I think that it's like even this... Like, I don't think people are even upset about, like, the... I mean, people are upset, obviously, about the difficulty in getting tickets and having to digitally queue and all that stuff, but they're they're really mad about the fees, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the monopoly, which, of course, is bad and unfair, but I just don't... I don't understand... I guess I'm just the kind of person that's like, well, that's kind of out of my control, you know? I can't fight Ticketmaster. There's nothing I can do. If I want to go see The Cure, I got to pay for it, and it's going to cost me money. And that's what it is. And I just don't, I guess I don't have that thing in me where I'm like, you know what? I need to go on my social media and talk shit about Ticketmaster and tag them so that they see it. Because that's going to make a difference. Because I know, and you know, it ain't going to make a difference. That's my whole fucking, that's the whole point.
Well, it won't make a difference in your life or my life. But for some people, seeing Taylor Swift is literally a matter of life and death.
True.
And that is maybe the inherent issue there, is that you need something more in your life other than like going to concert once. It's the same language that people use when they talk about, you know, like the same complaints of like, oh, well, like without insurance, my mom's leukemia medication costs, you know, $8,000 a month and I can't afford that. So now my family is going to die. This sucks ass. People are talking about Taylor Swift tickets in that same voice.
If I don't
see Taylor Swift, like my family will die.
My children
will eat themselves.
Is when it's the parent jump off a cliff. It's when it's the parent being like, I don't have a choice. Like, this is gonna make my life hell if I don't spend $3,000 on Taylor Swift tickets. Like I just don't, they're short circuiting.
For some people, it really is that dire.
Sure. Sure.
And that's the fundamental issue here.
No, that is the fundamental issue. And I think Ticketmaster, it's just funny that Ticketmaster, like, you know, during our younger years, you know, it was Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam on the front lines. Like, this was like a real thing in the kind of like slackers, like 90 era. And then everybody was just cool with it for 25 years, I guess. And now, because Taylor Swift is the kind of the face of the problem, it's super relevant again. And I just think that's, I just really, like, obviously I'm sure people complained about it, but there really has, there's been a 25, 30 year, you know, where this conversation was completely dormant and nothing was different. And they were charging these fees and it was all the same. It was literally all.
Did you ever think, I don't think anyone could predict that the average income of the Pearl Jam fan base would increase so greatly with time. Because at the time, they're complaining because like our fans like literally like live in a dumpster and work at Spencer Gifts. Like they cannot afford to see us, our favorite band. And now they're like, yeah, I mean, we're just going to fly private from Vail and go see them. and we might bop over to Boulder after. And
Pearl Jam has turned into, it's really interesting that Pearl Jam has turned into like a Grateful Dead level touring band with just rich guys going to see them and kind of like following them like the dead. And they put out everything. All the live shows are online. They get traded around. It's crazy.
And they're not exactly cool, but they're like, compared to what else you got, they're very cool. Like they're not going to be like, it's not like Guy Fieri kind of thing of like, yeah, you know, they're coming to town and we're going to go to the axe throwing bar and get kind of tanked up and then go see him. It's more of like, we're going to go bop into the omakase tasting menu, have some like very bomb sakes. No one's like smoking cigars and shit. Maybe a little microdose, pull it out of the Patagonia vest. Hop on the chopper. We're done. Dude, last night rocked.
Last night fucking rocked. They did rocked.
They did even flow three times.
No, but I mean, that's the thing is Pearl, because Pearl Jam, if Pearl Jam comes on the radio, I'm going to listen to it. Like, I'm going to stick with it. You know, if like you said, like if
PJ comes on in the Rivian, because what else am I listening to in the Rivian?
Pearl Jam is 100%.
Pearl Jam is the Rivian of bands for sure.
Pearl Jam is 100% a guy that's made a little too much money. He's got like a he's got a house that's like black.
Dude, I got into granola bars at the right time. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's got like a black house that was designed by an architect and he's got the Rivian out front and he's like wearing like a it's definitely some Patagonia, but also like maybe a Tom Sachs Nike, you know, like a little bit like that kind of guy.
He's invested in a plant-based leather company.
100%. Oh, you like my jacket? It's actually mushroom leather. It's really sick. It's like durable. And
don't
it
feel
looks
it. Don't feel
like,
it.
Yeah, you couldn't really tell the difference.
No, don't eat it. I'm just kidding. I tell that to everyone.
Like if you didn't know, bro, you wouldn't ever imagine. It's crazy. But that is exactly who listens to it's this weird guy that's
but
like,
the guy is a good, like, compared to the rest of the world, that's a good guy. Like, that's a great get. Like, he's not gonna be a bad person.
I'll take it all day.
He's responsible, he's resourceful. You land on some dick like that, you hit the button and say, let's do it. Even if he has a small dick.
As far as that stuff goes,
he obviously has a very small dick. We're gonna move past that.
As far as that stuff goes, it is pretty good. I mean, that's better to me. I would rather kind of break bread with one of those types than kind of like the vintage Mercedes. This runs on fry oil.
Sure.
I shop at Whole Foods, Grateful Dead guy. Mm-hmm. If I have to choose, you know,
1,000,000,000%.
Speaking of Grateful Dead guys.
Yeah.
I did experience a new kind of guy that I'm not around very much at an Audemars event.
Damn, this is becoming a recurring theme from How Long Gone. New guy alert.
Well, new guys,
and I like it
because new guys are popping up. But these aren't new guys. I guess
new guys. Yeah, they present themselves on a daily basis.
These new guys are new to me, I guess, in this way. But there's like a beautiful, like, Audemars has like a,
for our listeners at home, you're talking about Audemars, the watch company.
Piguet. Yes. The high end watch. Company. Mm-hmm. So they have like this like apartment in the meet, like next to Pastis, and it's like they were hosting an event with John Mayer, because he's
an absolute watch junkie.
He's an ambassador. And then so I went with Sam High, and I went before we went to dinner to check it out. And
I've been invited to worse houses. I've been to the Levi's house. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Fader Fort right now. and you know, Mayer's up there, fucking hair looking great, and he's fucking waxing poetic about watches with the, you know, the woman from Audemars, from AP, and this other guy, and they're just talking, and you know, it's way over my head. Like, this motherfucker knows his shit. He's talking about all kinds of stuff I've never heard of. I don't even know what these words mean, but I'm looking around and I'm like, everybody in here looks insane. Like, they're so rich, but they're also just like, you know, it's like a 55-year-old overweight guy in a suit with an off-white belt hanging down to his knee, like checking his phone that is like one of the, has like the wallet case.
He's still
on
got
it.
The offie belt.
And I'm just like, this is insane. Yeah, this is insane. And then you look around and there's like multiple guys with like the cursed Tiffany Air Force Ones. Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm, everybody has got on extremely expensive, everything on their body is extremely expensive. And it's all just absolutely the wrong thing. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Like, I don't know how you get here. Like, I don't know why you're all so rich. Like, everybody's got on a $50,000, you know, $50,000 watch. But I guess what it is the intersection of streetwear and watch culture is a very dangerous place to hang out.
It is. It's quicksand. It's a trap. Exactly, because you're describing these 55-year-old fat rich guys. They all have insufferable Percocet addicted children.
Totally.
Who have like face tats.
Totally.
And they're like, yes, dad, this is what's sick. And he's like, I guess I do this now. And then, you know, like, I guarantee every single one of these guys you're talking about has an insufferable 23-year-old son who has a Bored Ape yacht club that is quickly degrading in value.
That's true.
And he's still kind of pissed at his son for making him buy that for him.
That was my favorite guy there. But then there's a lot of guys that are like our age that definitely like just made some decisions as far as their investment portfolio goes. They got very, very rich, very young. And I think they're just like, what else do I do? Mm-hmm. I don't like, what else do I do? Like, I have to buy stuff. I've already got a nice apartment. I've already got a nice car.
It's either that or modular synths.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, which
pick your poison.
But John, when he's doing this interview, he did reveal something that I found very interesting.
Was this like a candid fireside chat that just happened to be recorded for video?
I actually didn't see anybody recording it. Okay. I have to be honest with you. But it was a candid fireside chat.
Copy.
Mayer was like, I just love collecting stuff. I'm into knives now. And I was like, I didn't.
So he's every Asian friend of mine in high school's dad. Go on.
Yeah, it's like I don't know how to approach this, because I know he lives in Montana. So, you know, he's probably got more need for a knife than maybe I would.
He's cutting a little more rope than you are.
And then I talked to Nomi, and Nomi's like, oh yeah, he sent out knives as a Christmas gift a couple of years ago. Like, he's not new to this. He's true to this. And I'm like, damn, this is...
I've been cutting.
Like,
honey, I've been cutting. Slicing.
And I was just like, I wonder what it's like to be at the level where you get into something and you have the time and the resources to truly find the end. Like, you can do whatever you want. And what he said was interesting about the knife collecting, which I guess we can all relate to on some level, is he's like, yeah, I can buy two a week. It's not watches. You know, they're affordable. And I was kind of like, damn, I guess that's why I like, you know, a vintage band t-shirt. Like, I can buy a Bell and Sebastian shirt once a week, and it's not really going to fuck up my bottom line, but I can't be buying, you know, there's a lot of things I can't buying once a week.
The archival Rick, that's more of a every 6 months, every trimester.
Yeah, my Rick is every trimester. Yeah. But I was just like,
I mean, for now.
For now. I'm going to...
No, I mean, that sounds amazing. Like, that's like every... boy's dream in life is just like, hey, I made a bunch of money, I have a life now that has intense work periods and intense chill periods, I'm in Montana, I'm posted up, I'm doing my thing, the only thing I have to do is figure out how to get this girl out of my cabin and then just go play with my fucking knives, you know?
Yeah, no, it's honestly,
and just like,
it's truly amazing.
Out everything about everything about watches,
but we've seen,
just because I think it's neat,
but we've seen it's crazy because I'm sure he went through a crazy car phase, you know what I mean? I think you do all of this stuff, and it's like, but the best thing he said about watches that was so sick is it's because people are asking about like value and stuff, and he's like, oh, I've never sold one.
He's like, do people resell these things?
He's like, no, I mean, he was like, I check out the value, but I'm not gonna, I mean, I don't resell them, you know? And I was just like, damn, this guy.
The need to sell one of my pieces hasn't presented itself quite yet.
Yeah, it was just so cool, because I feel like that's just such a big part of like watch conversation, you know, is like the market and how they sell. And he's like, oh, no, I look at it, but I don't do
it's
that.
It's funny. It's like, yeah, I got really into real estate. And he's like, oh, like you're flipping stuff. He's like, no, I just buy a bunch of houses.
Yeah, I just buy.
Then,
yeah.
And then you would sit on them for 10 years and then you make a big profit and you move that to a down payment. The next house, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could sell one of these too.
Yeah, I could.
I just keep buying houses.
I should call somebody and see if they could sell it for me. That's a good idea. That's somebody does. There's people that do that, right?
Come to think of it.
I was blown away.
Speaking of trying to figure out how to get a girl out of your cabin, I wanted to send a good luck message to Diplo. He's running the LA Marathon as we speak.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Diplo is, you know, I have to say, whatever you think about Diplo, he is really operates on a high level, I feel like. Like running a marathon, do you think he trained or do you think he's just showing up after a night out?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I was talking about this with somebody, I forgot who, but I was thinking like, of all the people I know in the world, personally or famous celebs, whoever, there's a decent chance that like nobody flies on an airplane more than he does. It's like Elon Musk, Kanye, Bezos level. Like, I think there's a decent chance he might fly more every year, you know, annually than truly anybody other than, you know, a pilot or something.
No, you're probably right. Maybe
even more than some pilot. Like, he's literally takes, you know, 6 flights a week or some shit.
Yeah, easily. And some, I mean, obviously some are shorter than others, but he seems to be, I just feel like, obviously we only see the highlights, but I feel like the guy is really like burning it at both ends in a way that you have to be kind of wired differently. But the athletic pursuits, you know, surfing is cool, but it ain't running a marathon. Like, this feels like a little, you know what I mean? This is pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, I mean, how does it feel, you know, for somebody like you who is a sober grustler, and, you know, you're up early, you're running and things like that. He's up earlier than we are.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, on ketamine the night before, and he's in the ice plunge at 5 a.m. when we're still fucking snoring. It's quite impressive. I think it happens when you, like, hit a certain age and you're really rich and you're, like, realize what life is about and blah blah blah, or you're just like, you know, you have some issues.
I think all of
and then you become like a futurist.
I think all of that is true, but I think the main thing that lets me sleep at night knowing that I am not on Dippy's level is that when you have the kind of money he has, you really have access to the experts and the best, which makes all of these kind of hobbies, you know, you have the best trainer, you have the best running coach, you have the best gear, you have the best facilities, which is like why this stuff is probably a little easier to achieve for him. Which is no, that's
that. They sound a whole lot like excuses to me.
No, it's not a slight at all, but it's just like, bro, if I wanted to run a marathon and it was like, all right, like, I'm gonna do this, I got a coach, I'm gonna fucking train, like, it's no problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you have to want to do it and have the will to do it, but there are things that make it a little easier.
You don't have the means or the time or the resources to fly a guy in from Nigeria to live at your house in Malibu for 6 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not able to pay the best trainer on planet Earth.
You probably have to open your own hip flexors, you fucking broke hoe.
My hip flexors are so tight, bro. Don't bring it up. You have to open your own hip flexors, you little broke ass.
That's like a rich person's version of washing your own car.
Oh wait, you open your own?
Probably opens his own hip flexors.
Oh god, I thought he was doing better.
Times are tough, but also, you know, he is probably going to be able to run faster than you after cutting all that semen weight every day as well.
That's a good point. He's kind of he's on a whole.
He's able to cut the air more.
You guys think Gwyneth Paltrow is bad? Don't even look at what Diplo's doing. You ain't gonna like that. You ain't gonna like that one bit.
yeah. Before you told me to add to my notes, Civil War and Rich Nerds. Any, you want to take a pick at either of those?
We just did it. Civil War is Donald Trump and Rich Nerds is watch collectors. We covered it, bro. We're all gravy.
Okay, I wasn't sure exactly what you meant by Civil War, but now I get it.
I mean, I don't. It's the name. Hopefully, it's the name of the new Kodak mixtape, but it could just happen. You know, I don't know.
So you're going. You're coming back to LA.
Oh yeah,
pretty soon or this week.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And then we're flip flopping.
I know. It's
I'm going to New York.
I love a classic flip flop. I love a classic flip flop. But luckily we have some overlap.
Yeah, we have some
overlap. Actually, we went to dinner with Stevie and Raven and a whole crew on Saturday at the Public, which was not. Raven was in town for he was doing some work with Gucci.
He does a lot of work with I think that's a nice gig to get into as a writer.
Nice. I ran into him on the street. He was walking from Soho to Brooklyn to get a cake.
He's got
to
carry a cake back across the bridge?
No, I was just like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'm going to get a bun. And I'm like, what's a bun? and he's like, you know, and he like describes a bun. I'm like, oh, you mean a cinnamon roll? And he's like, well, yeah, but it's a bun. And I'm like, yeah, but it's a cinnamon roll, you know. And it was there's a little bit of a standoff. But then I did. So then I saw him.
Tastes great, less filling.
Yeah. Then I saw him later that night.
Morning bun.
I saw him later at night at the dinner, and I was like, how was the bun? He's like, nah, you know, I don't know if I need to walk across a bridge for it, you know. But it was a nice day, you know.
Nobody should ever walk across the bridge to eat a morning bun.
It was so funny. I was like, bun, because to me, bun, I think of you know, a burger. Mm-hmm. I don't.
If he said a bap, then that would make more sense as a bridge.
Exactly. But yeah, I'm happy to get back to LA for some linking and building with, you know, mainly Hunter, but also you and a few other friends of the program.
You get in on Monday, Tuesday, 90% chance of rain. Don't worry.
Yeah, but it's looking good for the rest of the week. It's looking like 70 and sunny. I saw it breaks.
No, yesterday I went and had a little hangover pho, and I was sunning myself in Rosemead. It was like 73 degrees.
So we're getting a little bit of it. Yeah, I mean, New York is fucking, it's cold, but it's sunny.
We're like 2 weeks away from the fried egg plant blooming its flowers. I can feel it.
Thank God.
That's when you know. That's my groundhog's
head. What would we do without that? Jesus Christ. DJ Them Jeans, always bringing it back to his belly. That's why we love him.
No, to the botanical world.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I can't ever tell what world you're in. You're fucking up in the clouds. That's the only thing I can say for sitting. For bloody sitting,
bro. I've been super into botanicals lately.
Have you tried botanicals? Just sounds like the next thing they call cannabis. So I'm gonna back
that's
off.
That's where I was going.
Okay, that's why we do this show together. How long gone? We are back with more podcasts next week. We're also going to be announcing some new tour dates in the pretty near future for some cities in the US of A that we haven't been to in a while, we're excited about.
Yeah.
Which will end with our appearance at the Just Like Heaven Festival in Pasadena.
It's our first live podcast festival appearance. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, because we definitely don't. I wish somebody over there at Golden Voice would let us know. All right, how long gone? Thank you for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week. Jason, I implore you to enjoy your Sunday. I know I'm going to. And I'll talk to you soon.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.